Hey, welcome to Sex, Drugs, and Chronic Depression. I'm Jamie Cartwright, and today Emily Shaver and I are probably going to make a lot of jokes about sexy sex, druggy drugs, and super sad times. Also other mental health related topics, with the purpose being to hopefully make you laugh, maybe teach you something along the way, while keeping it entertaining, and most importantly, we want you to know that you're not alone in this, and we never intend offense with our jokes. On a more serious note, we are likely to touch on potentially triggering subjects, including but not limited to violence, various types of abuse, self-harm, even suicide. Again, in no way do we ever intend to be offensive. In addition, we never mean to belittle any aspect concerning these topics and always try to approach with a respectful manner, as respectfully as possible. Most importantly, if you are in a place right now where you feel that there's no way out, if you're a danger to yourself or others, we do care, and please, I can't implore you enough, reach out to a close friend, a family member, a trusted adult, even if that means calling your local hospital, church, or the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. And hope you enjoy the pod! Let's get on with that. What are your feelings on the Bigfoot?
The Bigfoot? The Bigfoot? The one Bigfoot?
Is it a species?
I've always been one to believe that it's a species of Sasquatch-like
okay.
Mammals of some kind.
Okay, so it's not just one.
Does that then mean
there's different breeds? Like, because how do you account for the Yeti? You know what I'm saying? Or is that just a cold one?
Is that just a cool-toned one?
I'm just spitballing here. I got all questions. Nothing. No answers.
No, that is the one thing about the Bigfoot. We have gotten no real answers.
It's sad.
Very sad.
Okay, anyway, hi guys.
That's in the Bigfoot community.
This podcast. Ba-dum-ts. Welcome to Sex, Drugs, and Chronic Depression. I'm Emily and Jamie. That's Emily. I'm Jamie. And we have
good job.
We do the audacity of this bitch, which is like something shitty that happened to us since we last recorded.
I didn't come up with mine. I didn't come up with either of my things for the segment. Oh, shit. I'm the worst.
You can talk about what you were bitching about earlier today. Not to say like, you were, like, annoying me. I wasn't annoyed. You were bitching about it. So
I have to change. Yeah, I'm losing my current insurance and having to get on a new insurance plan. And because of it, I get to change all my doctors. Oh, yeah, man.
This looks so hard. Woo. Why are they making you change all of them?
Because it's just none of my... I go see three doctors primarily, a psychiatrist, a primary care physician, and my therapist. And none of them were covered under any of the plans that were offered to me.
That sucks so bad. Especially the therapist one.
Right, so I went with the one that had the most physicians available.
So if you don't like them, you can choose. That's nice.
Yeah.
That sucks, though.
Yeah, so that really sucks. And I am pretty pissed off about it because it means that I have to stop seeing my therapist, which is the worst. But maybe we'll work something out. I don't know. I see her again next week.
Yeah, I've talked to her about it. She probably knows what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Mine's, how you feeling?
I mean, mine's what nowhere makes you near mad? As serious as that. Like, other than the fact that I've been doing a lot of housework and I'm literally losing track of what day it is. So it's because, like, I had to ask Emily if we were recording this week or next week because I didn't remember what day we recorded.
Yeah. That.
But anyway, Funko made fucking pops of The Office, and I'm pissed because now I have to buy them all.
You know what they made that I didn't even know? They made Community pops too.
Yeah, those just came out. They just came
those
out.
Those are
recently.
Adorable.
Yeah, The Office ones just came out on like the 9th or so, I think. I got the one of Michael pointing at Toby, and he has the rock that says, suck on this. It's like a pear one. And then I also have Kevin holding the chili pot.
That's adorable.
And I need to get all the rest. I need to get all the rest. Those were just my two favorites. And then they're coming out with more at Christmas. They're doing Classy Santa and Belschnickel. I need them all. I'm so mad because I need them. I'm upset.
Pieces of vinyl that you need.
That you stare. They don't do anything. They just sit on a shelf and just like stare at them. And I hate that I buy them. But like especially The Office ones. I've been waiting for these ones. I feel like
you need a place to throw your money when you get tired of throwing it at your house.
Yeah, and my face. Oh, anyway, let's talk about good things. Our moments of praise. Do you have one? You're going on vacation?
I am kind of going on vacation. I'm going to see my grandmother. Yeah. She's still in really good health, and I'm really lucky to have like my grandmother in really good health, and I want to spend some time with her just in case like anything were to happen. I don't want to like regret not spending more time with her when the opportunity is there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see her. We might skip an episode because of it, or it might work out. I don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, y'all will be fine. We're pretty inconsistent, so it's probably something you're used to. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get back on track when my house is manageable. But it's not right now because I have like half a bathroom. But it's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. It's fine.
What about good things, right? Yeah, good things.
Yeah. What are you excited about?
I mean, I've been watching Blacklist. I don't know. Have you watched that?
I watched some of it like I have with most shows. I watched like the first two or three seasons and then I get bored.
What's his name? James Spader. The guy that plays Robert California. And he's the same character. He's the same fucking character as Robert California. Like, yeah. And Eric, I was watching an episode, and Eric was like, I just out of nowhere, he goes, would you want to be a typecasted actor, or would you want to be an actor that could do any role? And I was like, is that even a question? Obviously, I would want to do all roles. Like, you want to be fluid. But anyway, he was like, because based on like one half of an episode, that James Spader was the exact same character in Blacklist as he is in The Office. It's like The Office is what he did after he got sick of being a criminal for Blacklist, so he went undercover as mild-mannered CEO of a paper company.
Mild-mannered, quote-unquote.
But yeah, I also started Neon Genesis Evangelion. That is amazing so far.
Everybody loves that shit.
It came out in 1995, so it's been a while that it's been in existence, but like I'm digging it. It's apparently okay, it starts off as like a save the world kind of thing, and this guy has to pilot a robot. That's like a giant robot, like in Transformers robot size, you know? But like, then it turns into some conspiracy shit, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? You don't know what to do. And the things that are bad are called angels, which I think is really interesting as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
So that's what you've got going on in your little weeb world.
Oh, I have more than that if you want me to keep keep going with. I'm watching several anime at the moment. I made a list of like
The Office again.
I'm always watching The Office too, so that's fine. Anyway, I made a list of mini anime that I'm gonna watch. I have 58. I think I've watched like 8. But they're all like 25 episodes or less. Ones that are like, well, no, 29 probably or less. None of them are 30 or more than that. Y'all don't care about that. You're here to learn about traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
But before the thick, and I am excited, but before the thick, we got to talk about a little stuff. Okay, let's stick to the script, Jamie. What are you fucking doing? Traditional Chinese medicine is exactly what it sounds like. It's a traditional medical system originating in China and practiced as alternative medicine throughout most of the world for thousands of years. Though, despite being considered alternative medicine, I think traditional Chinese medicine has some merit that Western medicine could benefit from adopting. And you'll see as we go through it. It contains elements based on the cosmology of Taoism and considers the human body and in more functional and vitalistic terms rather than in anatomical terms. So they look at overall well-being instead of just like your arm hurts or your stomach hurts.
Okay.
Health, and I'll describe how they do that. It's kind of complicated, but we'll get it. You'll understand by the end of this, I promise. It's not going to be like the pseudoscience episode.
Are you sure?
I promise.
Are you sure about that?
Health and illness in TCM follows the principle of yin and yang, which we'll discuss more in depth later, and ascribes to the balance or imbalance in a flow of a vital force called qi, which we'll also get into later. The TCM description of the function and structure of the human body is fundamentally different from modern scientific or Western medicine. Some of the procedures and remedies have shown premise under scientific investigation, but the majority of traditional Chinese medicine is grounded in, well, tradition, which can unfortunately be damning at times when you commit to a quote-unquote, this is the way we've always done it attitude. The most interesting part I find is where Western medicine focuses mainly on treating disease, TCM looks at your entire overall well-being. The ancient wisdom of Chinese medicine makes use of a lot of things from herbs and minerals to more bizarre and controversial substances like insects and animal parts. In addition, many natural ingredients that show up in health, beauty, and skincare products are believed to have medicinal properties thanks to traditional Chinese medicine. And to be honest, it was my inspiration for this episode, like, where the fuck do they get honey, turmeric, mugwort masks, or like licorice, azelaic acid peel, or rice exfoliating wash. Like, yeah.
I made those all up.
But you're picking up what I'm putting down. So maybe, like me, you might see your beauty and maybe food ingredients from a different perspective once you get to know a little bit more about it. I also wanted to discuss this today because there's a lot of quackery. This is like criticism, I guess. That's the word. Revolving around traditional Chinese medicine, which I personally think might be because they use phrases like gain the power to unlock your true potential.
Which, I mean, like,
exactly. That's why I think there's like people who are like,
it makes me annoyed. Yeah. Even hear those words.
And then you have those people who take it to like the whole other level, and they're germophobic, like anti-vax moms who believe essential oils can cure cancer, and like that's not good either. So you don't want.
Yeah.
Fun fact though, sidebar, essential oils have nothing to do with traditional Chinese medicine. The Egyptians were actually the first to build a large scale civilized culture using essential oils. Dating back as
actually
it dates back as far as 4500 BC. They were renowned for their knowledge of ointments, aromatic oils, and cosmetology, which stretched into making herbal preparations. So there's my Spencer Reed moment for you today. So we're going to discuss the principles behind TCM today, diagnostic techniques, and some forms of treatments. But first, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Disclaimer Nation! Yay! I want everybody to please keep in mind that we are no experts whatsoever, nor do we claim to be, and take as we are going to take as an objective of an approach as possible. We're here to purely inform and entertain, not to persuade or sway in any way, or suggest you try anything we're going to talk about today. Also, I would like to personally apologize to the entire nation of China and surrounding countries for in advance, because I'm sorry for incorrect pronunciations that are going to take place. So,
yeah, it's probably going to be a lot of that.
Woo! On with it! First up, we got to talk about a Materia Medica for Chinese medicine, which is their book. It's the book. Okay. Arguably, one of the most important factors of TCM is phytotherapy or herbal medicine. So this is where they get all of the ingredients like the mugwort and the whatever that you'll see in your... And we can do another episode on specifics like that. I think that would be very interesting to talk about too, if you... Yeah. If anybody, I'm sorry, would be interested in that. But what that is, what phytotherapy is a science-based medical practice and is thus distinguished from other more traditional approaches like medical herbalism. It relies on an empirical appreciation of medicinal herbs, and they're often linked to traditional knowledge dating back. One way to better understand this is with a book, this book, okay, A Materia Medica for Chinese Medicine. It's written by two medically trained doctors, Carl Herman Hempen and Tony Fisher, ironically, neither of whom are Chinese. They both worked as therapists specializing in the use of Chinese herbs for more than 30 years, though, so they have a little bit of experience. The book describes 400 of the most important plants, minerals, and animal substances used as treatments by Chinese medical practitioners. The items included have been selected according to their degree of clinical relevance. They include many plants in part or whole, such as ginseng and wolfberry, as well as more exotic ingredients like seahorses. Each remedy is clearly described.
That just reminds me of that episode of The Office when Handy eats all the crap of seahorse.
How much did you have? I don't know, it was powdered, so I had like 4 or 5. Instead of how Andy did it, each remedy in this book is clearly described and illustrated on two facing pages, making it an easily accessible reference for both students and practitioners of Chinese herbal medicine. Preparations generally include several ingredients in combination, with selection based on physical characteristics such as taste, shape, or relationships to the organs of traditional Chinese medicine. And we'll get into those later. You'll know what those are by the end. Most preparations have not been rigorously evaluated and give no indication of efficacy. Pharmacognosy research, which is the study of plants or other natural sources as possible source of drugs or like instead of certain drugs. Research for that for potential active ingredients present in these preparations is active, and the applications do not always correspond to those of traditional Chinese medicine. So there are differences in what the Western world believes and what traditional Chinese medicine says.
Yeah.
So there's credence to this, but there's also take it with a grain of salt, you know?
It's hard for me to believe in stuff like this.
That part is the most we're going to get into more thick next. You'll see. All So we're first going to establish an understanding of what yin and yang are is most important, I think. It's not also, it's not yin yang with a, it's not Y-I-N-G, it's Y-I-N.
Not yin yang like the yin yang twins.
Nah, I'm sorry. I wish, but like, you just, I just want it. It's important to note that before we get into it, just before. Okay. Anyway, while most people have probably heard the term yin yang or know its famous symbol, few understand what it truly is, and even fewer people know how it relates to traditional Chinese medicine. But you gonna learn today. Similar to the way rationale and science form the basis for Western medicine, the Taoist philosophy of yin and yang form the basis for traditional Chinese medicine. So in Chinese philosophy, yin yang, which translates into dark bright, roughly, describes the notion that everything in nature consists of two paradoxical phases of energies. Does that make sense? So yes. There's a dichotomy in everything. In TCM, the concept of yin and yang serve as the foundation for understanding health, as well as diagnosing and treating illnesses. It's first referenced in a book, the name of which I cannot pronounce, so I will not try, but it is known as in English as the Book of Changes, which is believed to have been written around 700 BC. And according to this book, all phenomena is composed of the two opposite but mutually interconnected forces known as yin and yang. This dual relationship demonstrates that everything in the universe exists as connected, complementary, yet opposite elements. And to better understand the concept, it helps to know about yin and yang's four aspects, which describe the relationship between the two. They're simultaneously one, opposites. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I just scooted my chair up and it made a horrific sound on the floor.
Terrible.
Anyway, they're opposites. A common yin and yang relationship is day and night. While opposites, they can only be understood as a relationship. For example, darkness is relative to yin, while yang is relative to light, and the balance between the two is always shifting and progressing in a cyclical fashion. Like, light of night and day. Does that make sense? Okay.
Okay.
Second, they're both interdependent. While opposite, yin and yang are interdependent, one cannot exist without the other. They are mutually dependent on each other, and one cannot exist with... I just said that. Everything that has yin must have yang, and vice versa. Three, they are mutually transformative. Yin and yang are in a constant state of flux and affect each other always. If one changes, the other follows. Nature, by definition, cannot be static. Just as a state of total yin is reached, yang begins to grow. For example, there is no day without night eventually coming. So,
all right. So it's very much about balance.
Yes. Which is, that is a good segue into number four. They are mutually consuming. Yay! Yin and yang are naturally balanced, but are continuously changing. The change is typically harmonious, but they can become imbalanced. So there are four possible states of this imbalance. Excess of yin, excess of yang. Deficiency of yin, deficiency of yang. And that is where disease occurs when one of those happens. In terms of the human body, yin is associated with the lower parts of the body, while yang is associated with the upper body and back. Given yin and yang's interconnectivity, diseases are not seen as entities separate from the body, but instead are understood as states of yin and yang imbalance. In traditional Chinese medicine, this interconnectivity is understood as a group of four opposites, collectively known as the eight principles, which we will get into, I promise, but we can't discuss those without first understanding what the functional entities and five vital substances are, which we're going to talk about next.
Okay.
The five functional entities are responsible for performing the five cardinal functions of the body that maintain the health within your body. They keep you alive. It's the shit that happens that you don't even have to think about, like your heart beating and stuff. These cardinal functions are called actuation, warming, defense, containment, and transportation. If there's an imbalance within any of these functional entities, they won't be able to perform their cardinal functions, and as a result, illness may arise. While the change of yin and yang may seem random, they actually follow a pattern known as Wu Xing Qing, I think, I'm sorry, or in English, the five phases or five elements. This pattern shows how and when yin will shift toward yang and vice versa. Typically, Wu Xing is a Chinese paleontologist who has named more dinosaurs than any other living paleontologist. Fun fact. But Wu Xing is used to describe the cyclical change of seasons and states of elements. So Wu Xing is the predictive and not necessarily predictive, but cyclical change of yin and yang imbalance.
Okay.
For example, spring gives early rise to summer, which then turns into late summer, which then becomes fall. It's a pattern. Do you see? It's a cycle. Do you see the cycle? The cycle is just, that's what it is. It's just called that.
And everybody goes through the cycle?
This is inside every single organ or cardinal function, whatever. In the organs, yes.
Okay.
But all of this is called Zheng Fu. All of this flow. And it's the first of the functional entities. It refers to the organs that are yin. The Zhang of Zheng Fu refers to the organs that are yin in nature, which includes the pericardium. That's the membrane that surrounds the heart. The heart itself, the liver, the spleen, the lungs, and the kidneys. While the Fu refers to the organs that are yang, or the triple burner. And the triple burner is a body part. It's a special concept in traditional Chinese medicine. There's no corresponding organ in Western medicine, technically, but suggestions have been made that the triple burner's function may be related to the pancreas and overall just metabolism in the body, getting shit done. However, no clear conclusion has been really reached as to the nature of the organ. As far as we do know, the triple burner is actually a collective term for the upper, middle, and lower burner. That's the three of the triple, which is located above the diaphragm and includes sections of the heart and lungs. The middle burner is located in the region above the belly button and below the diaphragm and includes the spleen and stomach. And the lower burner is below the belly button and includes liver, kidneys, large intestine, small intestine, and bladder. It's basically all the organs that are not in the Zhang of the Zhang Fu.
Okay.
Anyway. Similar to yin and yang, each Zhang has to have a Fu. One can't exist without the other, etc., etc. Each Zhang Fu pair corresponds to one of the five cardinal functions that I mentioned previously. The purpose of those organs is to produce the five vital substances, also known as the five building blocks of life in the body. For those keeping track at home, this is the second part of the functional entities. The five substances are qi, shue, jinye, Jing, and Shen. And we're going to talk about all of them. They're all substances of your body that your body uses.
Okay.
Qi is the most basic. Okay. Qi is the most basic. It literally means air. It refers to the vital life force that makes up and binds together all things in the universe. It's probably a word you've heard before. It flows through the Jing Lu. We'll get to that. Which corresponds to particular points on the body. And according to traditional Chinese medicine, all human ailments are caused by imbalances or interruptions in the flow of qi. Shui, or blood, that's the second one. It's the liquid life force of the body, and its key proponent is nourishment. It is yin in nature and considered to be a subset of qi. Qi gives rise to blood, which nourishes the zhang fu organs, which in turn produce more qi. The stomach and the spleen are essential organs in the production of blood and its healthy functions. Circulation is a prime function of shui. When blood is undersupplied, issues with anxiety, sleep deprivation, and irritability may surface. The next one up is Jin Ye. I'm sorry. That is bodily fluids other than blood. That's kind of self-explanatory. It's your saliva, your urine, your semen, you know. The Jin... They're basic fluids. The Jin refers to the clear, thin, and watery fluids that nourish in muscles like teardrops and sweat. And the Ye of Jin Ye refers to the thick, viscous liquids that lubricate organs. Such as brain and spinal cord fluid. Jin Ye is yin in nature and is produced via consuming food and drinks, where it then separates and distributes the nutrition throughout the body. Next is Jing, which translates directly into essence and is the substance responsible for both the immaterial or soul and physical being or body of a person. This is something we don't have in the Western world. It's yin in nature and is stored in the kidneys. It is considered to be the densest physical matter within the body and circulates throughout the 8 major vessels where it helps to create semen, menstrual blood, and bone marrow. Jing regulates the body's growth and development. It also works with qi to help protect the body from harmful external factors. Jing and qi have a close relationship and together are believed to form the foundation for shen, or spirit, which is conveniently the 5th vital substance. Shen is the yang portion of qi and is often translated to mean spirit in English. Shen is responsible for regulating emotions. So, like, shout out to my shen. My shen needs to fucking increase in my body. It's stored in the heart and enters a rested state while a person is sleeping. It is nourished by the shui, or blood, and is stored in the blood vessels. Symptoms of imbalance of shen may include mental illness, such as anxiety or extreme depression. Oh my God, I can't talk. As well as insomnia. So together, these are only 3 of the 5. We just talked about the 5 vital substances, yes. Together, though, 3 of them, qi, jing, and shen, are referred to as the 3 treasures. Poor bodily fluids being left out, you know what I mean? Like the shen, the blood, and the semen stuff, you know? Anyway.
Always the semen
the 3
out.
Treasures form the foundation for understanding the human body and the healing practices of traditional Chinese medicine. Treatments. That's the word. Treatments of like traditional Chinese medicine, like acupuncture or tui na, which is traditional Chinese massage, and herbology are very focused on the 3 treasures. Huh. The last of the functional entities, we were still talking about those, if you all remember, is Jing Lao Lu, or in English, they're known as meridians. If you've ever seen an acupuncture model and seen the dots on the body, or if you've ever seen where they put in the acupuncture needles is the meridian. They are the location points for the meridians, or the Jing Lao. It's a channel in which qi and other fundamental substances flow. They're known by many different names in traditional Chinese medicine. They can be referred to as acupuncture meridians, acupoints, or even energy vessels. The meridians function as a network, much like a highway system that can be mapped out throughout the entire body. So think the circulatory system, like in Western medicine. They're similar principles, but it needs to be emphasized that the Jinglao are non-physical. You can't see them. You just got to know. So, yeah, just know that. It blows my fucking mind that people can just know, like, the fully understanding the vast system of these meridian networks and these their functions. It's an extremely right. complicated subject that takes years of study at an acupuncture program. For the sake of simplicity, we're going to divide the Jinglao network into two major categories. There's the Jingmai, or the main meridian channel, and there's the Laomai, or the collateral vessels. The Jingmai refers to a collective system of the main meridian channels, whose primary purpose is to regulate the flow of qi throughout the body. Generally speaking, there are 72 of these major Jingmai. The Laomai, or collaterals vessels, are the branches that branch off of the Jingmai. So, like, if it's a tree, okay. you got the big branch and then the twigs, you know? The Laomai are the twigs, right?
Right.
And learning this system is necessary for practicing traditional Chinese medicine, especially acupuncture. So y'all need to make sure that if you ever get acupuncture, we're not going to discuss acupuncture today because it's very complicated and I don't want to go into that. But I just want to say that if you guys get acupuncture, you got to make sure that the person that's doing it knows what the fuck they're doing, because this shit is like really, really complicated. And they can fuck you up by hitting like nerves like in your body. They can fuck you up, man. So
I follow a like vet assistant mm-hmm. lady on Instagram, and they do acupuncture That's on adorable. Kittens. And it's so
I've
cute.
Always wanted to get it, but it's I'm scared so too. And I'm not even scared of needles. Like, I don't care about needles that much. Like, if I'm like, if you're gonna draw my blood, needles. I'm gonna watch it happen because I don't want to be surprised, kind of thing. But like, yeah, so no. I don't care about the needles. I just I'm scared about people fucking me up by stabbing me in the wrong place. You know what I mean?
Right. I would be afraid of that. I would also be afraid of the
They're
needles.
Really, really tiny.
I currently need to get a blood test, and I've been putting it off. I need to go get a blood test that I've been putting off. And I keep thinking about it at night. I lay in bed and I think about that
I'm
needle.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I just got a fat tattoo on my arm. I can't relate at all. Anyway, you guys, before we take a break, we're going to take a break here. But before we do that, I just want to reiterate what we've just learned. The functional entities are the five vital substances. The functional entities are the five vital substances, the wuxing flow of Zhangfu, and finally the Jinglao, or the meridians. And the five vital substances, again, are qi, shui, jinye, jing, and shen. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the eight motherfucking principles. So get ready for that.
Yeah, I'm excited. Learning a lot this episode. Woohoo! And welcome back.
Yeah. Hope you quiz time, Emily. Break. Pop quiz. What is?
Oh no!
And you lose. It's blood. You should have known.
I'm sorry. It's one of the substances.
Yeah,
right?
It's a substance. Good. But now, we're gonna, oops, now that y'all know all the things, we're gonna talk about how you figure out what's wrong, right? When somebody, so as okay. mentioned previously, traditional Chinese medicine doesn't evaluate an illness purely based on the symptoms that a person is showing, but rather on kind of complex patterns of disharmony in the body. At the most basic level, which is honestly still kind of complex, these patterns are determined by 8 principles, which measure either an excess or a deficiency of qi in one of the entities, known as vacuity or stagnation, respectively. The process of actual diagnosis begins with an evaluation of being... with an evaluation of being, I'm sorry. According to the notion of the 8 principles, which describe the basic qualities of a disease. This notion refers to 4 pairs of mutual opposites, and we're going to discuss those now. So 1 and 2 are yin and yang, which we already discussed. So let's just jump into 3 and 4, which is interior and exterior. Interior describes diseases that manifest themselves in the Zhang Fu organs deep inside the body, such as qi, blood, or bone marrow. More broadly, it's used to describe diseases that cannot be classified as exterior, which exterior was 4, describes diseases that manifest themselves on the surface of the body, like hair, skin, and nails, and the meridians. Clinical features include body chills, fever, aversion to cold temperatures, or weak pulse, and or headaches. 5 and 6 are heat and cold. Heat describes the absence of an aversion to cold. Yeah, I know. If paired with an exterior pattern, symptoms can include rapid pulse, fever, body chills, dehydration, and or sore throat. If paired with an interior pattern, symptoms can include preference for cold drinks, clear urine, and or slow pulse. So this gets a lot more complicated here because it's like now they're comparing or they're pairing up these 8 principles to figure out what's actually wrong with you. And this is why people take a long time to understand what this stuff is and don't just listen to an hour-long podcast and know what traditional Chinese medicine is. Cold is describes an aversion to cold. So you're fucking cold, basically. If paired with an exterior pattern, symptoms can include body aches, a tense pulse, fever, body chills, and or headaches. If paired with an interior pattern, symptoms can include nausea, stomach pain, vomiting, and or diarrhea, guys. 7 and 8.
Follow with us a Z. On Twitter.
7 and 8 are deficiency and excess. So deficiency is used to describe a vacuity in qi, blood, or bodily fluids. So that means deficiency. Depending on how it relates to interior, exterior, and cold heat, it can manifest as constipation, little to no appetite, dizziness, and or slow pulse. Excess is generally classified as any disease that cannot be identified as a deficiency pattern. I feel like a lot of these pairs, or almost all of these pairs, are that way. Usually it means that one of the 6 excesses is present, which we're not going to get into because... We've learned a lot already, you know, and I can only teach so much. Depending on how it relates to interior, exterior, and cold heat, it can manifest as quick pulse, sweaty palms, and or sharp stomach pains. So, after a basic diagnosis given via the 8 principles, those were the ones we just talked about. Yin yang, interior, exterior, heat, cold, deficiency, and excess, basically. And the pairing of them. Okay. The diagnostic then continues by focusing on.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I get it. Yeah, a little bit. So.
Oh,
I'm not going to teach somebody how to diagnose disease in 5 minutes. That's not how.
You're trying your best, and that's
I can email you the outline of this if you guys really want, because it's probably easier to read it than to listen to me say it. But anyway, after evaluating present symptoms, a person's condition is further evaluated as to how the specific entities are affected, the qi, meridian, sangfu, etc. We talked about the entities. Traditional Chinese medicine does not strongly differentiate between the cause and effect of a disease. However, there are three major categories that are considered to give rise to disease, which are external, internal, and other. Yeah. External are caused by the six excesses and bad qi. Internal are caused by seven emotions or affects, which are anger, fear, anxiety, fright, grief, pensiveness, and joy. Which are said to affect the Zhangfu organs in turn and then cause disease. Other irregularities is disease caused by something that, you guessed it, is neither internal nor external, such as unbalanced diet or damage done by parasites. So, yeah.
Wow.
If you still don't understand, there are four methods. And or pillars, they're pillars of diagnosis to further explain how diagnoses are made. The TCM practitioners overall use four methods. First is inspection or looking. It focuses on visual analysis of the face, skin features, body secretions, particularly also on the tongue. In TCM, the surface of the tongue corresponds to particular Zhangfu organs and can reveal a lot about a particular disease. Therefore, the tongue diagnosis is considered a cornerstone practice in the diagnostic process. Interesting. Number two is...
Wow.
Auscultation.
No, that's very...
Which is the analysis of sounds. In TCM, there are five major types of sounds: shouting, laughing, singing, weeping, and groaning. Auscultation analysis extends to olfaction, which analyzes smell. Your olfactory system is your smelly system, you guys. Even though sound and smell are considered to be separate senses in the West, they are considered to be combined in, traditional Chinese medicine. Number three. Palpation refers to analysis by feeling. Particularly, they will analyze your wrist pulse, your abdomen, and the meridian points, which we talked about. The techniques for doing so are complex and can take years to learn, which does not surprise me at all. And number four is inquiry, which is analysis by asking questions, which is essentially what they do in the Western world first. They look at the person's past health and habits, and then traditionally, there are 10 questions of which I do not have, so I'm sorry, don't get excited. And they range from diet to sleep pattern. After recognizing a particular pattern of disharmony via these four pillars, a doctor will prescribe treatment based on the diagnosis that was given. The treatment can include the more common practices of traditional Chinese medicine, like herbal medicine, acupuncture, and tuina massage. But there's also less common practices like cupping and tai chi. So yeah, that's fun, isn't it?
My grandma did tai chi for a while. She said it helped her a lot with her arthritis.
Tai chi is really good for the elderly because it's very slow movements, and then it helps them gain balance.
Yes.
Slowly. Oh, yeah. Yes.
She loved it.
So, I thought it would be boring to talk about those ones that you might have heard of already, like the acupuncture and like herbal remedies or even tai chi or tuina, which is the traditional Chinese massage. No! No! I want to talk about
No!
you've maybe never heard of. And if you have, I don't care. I'm going to talk about it anyway. First one is gua shua, also known as Kuroken or coining.
What does that mean?
I'm glad you asked. The name gua sha comes from the Chinese word for scraping. Fun, right? It may also be called skin scraping, spooning, or coining. It's often used to treat muscle pain and tension, but there has been limited research to how well it works. Gua shua aims to move qi around the body. The practice is done using a tool to apply pressure and scrape the skin to relieve pain and tension. The action causes light bruising, which often appears as purple or red. These spots are known as petechiae or sha. Gua sha aims to help break down scar tissue and connective tissue, and in turn, it'll improve movement in the joints. Small injuries to the body, such as the bruises caused by gua sha, are sometimes known as microtrauma. These create a response in the body that actually may help to break up scar tissue, which is kind of awesome. Microtrauma may also help with fibrosis, which is a buildup of too much connective tissue when the body heals. Another aim of gua sha is to move pooled or stagnated blood in order to relieve other symptoms. Gua sha is most often used to relieve muscle and joint pain. Conditions of the muscles and bones are known as musculoskeletal disorders. Some examples include back pain, tendon strain, and carpal tunnel syndrome. Practitioners claim that gua sha can also benefit the immune system and reduce... Oh, I'm sorry, I had a hiccup. And reduce inflammation. Sometimes gua sha is used to treat a cold, fever, or problems with the lungs. The treatment does not have any serious side effects, but it is not suitable for those with certain medical conditions. The bruises usually take, I would think, like hemophilia. I don't know. Diseases where you bruise really easily probably are not.
Yeah, like Ehlers-Danlos, like we talked about last time.
That resourceful Emily. Sorry.
Yeah.
The bruises usually take a week to heal for those who are healthy, and they can be tender while healing. But you can take an over-the-counter painkiller like ibuprofen that'll help with reducing pain and swelling. And again, I gotta emphasize, y'all do not go to somebody that does this unless they're trained in it, because...
Yeah.
If you Google what their bodies look like after they get this stuff done...
I don't suggest it.
Just imagine, like, your back, but... a bruise. All of it. Just all of it is a bruise. Basically. And then there's like, you can see where they scraped along, but like, it's more of a, instead of a scrape, it's more of like a hard press down kind of a thing. Like really hard press down to the point where they bruise you. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of fun. It helps with your joints.
It's kind of fun.
I don't know. It's like we're gonna fuck you up, but then you'll feel better after it heals. I don't know. It's like working out without working out. That is what it made me think of. But like, you're not gonna lose weight. It's just gonna make your joints better, which is also good.
I guess. What's the other one you want to talk about?
Moxibustion. It's a practice that involves burning moxa. This is a cone or a stick made of ground mugwort leaves. So they burn this moxa on or near your body's meridians and acupuncture points. Practitioners believe that the resulting heat helps stimulate these points and improve the flow of qi. Moxibustion can be applied directly or indirectly. In direct moxibustion, the moxa cone rests on your body and at the treatment... point. So think of like an incense cone. That's kind of what they're like, but bigger. The practitioner lights the cone and lets it burn slowly until your skin gets really red. And then once you begin to feel the heat, the practitioner removes it, and that's it. Indirect moxibustion is much more commonly practiced because it's way safer. since burning moxa doesn't actually touch your skin. Instead, the practitioner will hold it about an inch from your body, and then they'll remove it once your skin becomes red and warm. Another method of indirect moxibustion uses an insulating layer of salt or garlic between the cone and your skin, and it's perhaps best known for being an alternative way to help with breech presentation, which is something that happens with pregnant women when a baby's in a bottom-down position during birth, and it makes the process much more difficult and dangerous. A Cochrane review found limited evidence for the use of moxibustion in correcting breech presentation of babies and called for more experimental trials. Side effects of moxibustion can include nausea, throat irritation, abdominal pain from contractions. That's probably just from having the baby, honestly.
I would say.
Moxibustion has been studied for treatment of pain, cancer, stroke, ulcerative colitis, constipation, hypertension. Systematic reviews have found that these studies are of low quality, and positive findings could be due to publication bias. So be really fucking careful about that, too. Moxibustion doesn't sound, they're just like, hey, let me burn this real close to your body.
Yeah, it
and
sounds
pretty shady. And maybe you'll flip upside down in your womb. That, no, I don't know about that.
That one's a little sus.
Yeah, so that's... In conclusion, bitch! Traditional Chinese medicine is an approach that covers lots of ground, and results will vary, obviously. Practices haven't been studied in the same way as Western medicine. More research has been done on herbs and acupuncture than any other treatment, but studies show a lot of promise for some things. I got some examples. Acupuncture is commonly accepted as a treatment for a number of conditions, including pain relief and limiting side effects from chemotherapy, allegedly.
That is true.
But like I said, fucking professionals. Get a professional to do it. A professional. Okay, next. A number of herbs used in TCM are also used at well-respected Western medicine clinics to treat things from trouble sleeping to arthritis to menopause. I think one of those, like... Oh, never mind. Tai Chi. Well, you talked about Tai Chi for your grandma, right? It helps improve balance for people who have Parkinson's disease as well.
Oh, that's very cool.
And then cupping may help remove pain from shingles. If you don't know what cupping is, basically they put fire in a cup, and then so the cup is holding that heat, and then they put it on your skin directly. It sucks your skin into the cup, and then they remove the cup after a couple minutes. So
yes,
but yeah, that one apparently it helps pain relief.
Brutal.
Yeah, if you watched the, I just remember all I can think of when I thought of cupping was what's his fuck, the swimmy boy. What's his name? Michael Phelps.
Phelps,
from the Olympics.
Yeah.
They had all those big circles on their backs. That was from cupping.
Damn.
And last but not least, a 2014 study found that gua sha improved the range of movement and reduced pain in people who use computers frequently compared to a control group that had no treatment. In a 2017 study, weightlifters who had gua sha felt that lifting weights took less effort after treatment. This could suggest that the treatment actually speeds up muscle recovery, which I think makes sense because what you're doing is like, you know how when you work out, what you're actually doing is making micro tears in your muscles. And that's why it hurts the next day. So this is doing the same exact thing. I wonder if it is just making you stronger. It's so interesting. I think I kind of want to get it done, but I also don't want to get it done because it scares me. I don't want to get it. I don't know.
This sounds pretty cool.
I don't know, man.
If you could find a reputable place.
I was just going to say, I also don't know where the fuck I would find a person practicing gua sha near me in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May have to travel for that one.
Yeah, I'm down. I'll go to China any day. Okay, that's it. Okay, bye. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
You guys can email us at youshouldgettherapy@gmail.com if you have anything to talk about. If you need this outline because you don't understand anything I just said, I can totally email it to you. You can also tweet us at Diarrhea Guys. That's with a Z. And at Jamie Cart and at Ms. Harry. Yep, that's about it.
That's everything.
Oh, yeah, we're also on Instagram at those names.
Yeah, nothing more.
But yeah.
Yes.
That's all. And we'll be back next time with something that also involves China, but not so complicated at all. At all.
Yay! Less complicated, so Emily can keep track the whole time.
Just balance. That's it. That's like the whole balance. That is summed up in one word. There you go.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. That you're queer.